Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace.
So let me just pray for Adrian before we get started, and we'll turn to those. Father, thank you for a new day. Thank you for the Lord's Day and for the opportunity that it gives to us as your people to fellowship together and to sit down at the table of the Lord to be nourished through the means of grace that you established and to receive the gifts that you have given to us in Christ. And we pray for our brother Adrian and ask that you would help him. I pray that you would protect him from any kind of either pride or self-condemnation because he's trying to compare himself with other teachers or because he feels like he's not where he ought to be. Just, I pray that you'd help him just to share with us the things that you've been teaching him and working out in his own heart in these days as we think together this morning about prayer and the way that you use that in your church. And so we even do that now because we know that you alone, O God, are the one who sustains us and nourishes our souls. And we ask you to do that now through your word taught in Jesus' name. Amen.
What's up, guys? So, as I'm understanding, we're in a series right now, the nature of the church. And Garrett kick-started with laying a foundation for what that was. And then Stan, he taught on the centrality of the church. And Paul and Todd taught on discipleship last week. And today I have the privilege of teaching on the place of prayer together in the church community. So my hope is by the time we're done, we'll be able to see the importance of prayer for and with one another in the church community for God's glory. So I want to start off with a question, kind of open up the floor. What do you guys think would be some reasons as to why we might be tempted not to pray? And just kind of bounce off of each other. Anybody?
It's hard.
Yeah. It's hard,
it's,
yeah.
It can sometimes feel like God never answered your prayers.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I don't pray for the right things.
Pray for the right things. Anybody else?
Now we're just busy.
Busy, yeah. Anybody
else? You can be embarrassed to approach God.
Yeah.
It feels like I already know, so it's the point.
Yeah. Anybody else? Those are all good points. So I want to start with my first point, which is prayer genuinely benefits the person you're praying for, and it knits our hearts together in unity. So I often say when I'm taking inventory, how I would not have done certain things had I started my day off in prayer or sitting and thinking of the dangers of the day that lie ahead. And how much more is that true in regards to praying for one another and bringing each other before the throne of grace? I believe that intercessory prayer is sacrificial, it's gritty, it's grimy, it's a way of laying your concerns aside and putting others in that slot. And it's a way of taking your eyes off of yourself and putting them on others. And a quote from John Piper says, "Until we're convinced that life is war, we will not understand what prayer is for." So we have to be convinced that we're constantly in spiritual warfare and there's no neutrality in war. So if one side stops, then the other advances. So I want us to see by the time we're done that there's, in the terminology of war, there's bullets whizzing by, there's landmines all around us, there's foxholes, there's people in trenches, and there's a call for the Christian to put on the full armor of God and to put on armors to understand you're in a war, and also the armors for your benefit. And I get that from James 5:16, where it says, "The prayers of a righteous person has great power." Or I like the way the New King James puts it, "The prayer of a righteous person avails or benefits much." And even more as to why I'm convinced it benefits the person you're praying for is because if you guys will turn to Ephesians 6, we'll read that. Or how about, can I get a volunteer? Anybody want to read?
Ephesians
I'll call Emma. You'll read Ephesians 6, 18 through 19. Amen. So you see here that kind of warfare language, keeping alert, vigilant with all perseverance, a sober-minded kind of attitude that understands we're in something. And to add to that, we have a cause and effect here as well. Pray this so that. So since we're in spiritual warfare, pray this so that I may be able to open my mouth boldly and proclaim. So it's God sovereign to answer that question as far as being tempted to be lazy in prayer, because I think that's something I deal with. Is God sovereign? Yes. But does he in the same breath use prayer as a means to advance his kingdom? Also, yes. So God in his sovereignty has designed prayer to be a means by which he chooses to work. So we can be encouraged by that. And also, like I said, this can help combat against that temptation to say, well, you know, Lord, but, you know, still you designed this. And I confess, intercessory prayer is just not the joy of my soul. It's not easy. It's not something I just stumble across. So we can be encouraged as far as knowing that the Lord will supply us for the need for this task rather than being discouraged. So let's look at some more examples of some prayers, because I want us all persuaded to believe that prayer has been given to us to have confidence when we're praying for each other. And in 1 John 5:14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And the scriptures have given us multiple examples of apostles and the saints with prayers. And I believe that's for our encouragement and for our instruction. So if you guys will turn to Colossians 4, I'm going to read verses 4 and 12. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. And Paul says in verse 13 that he bears witness that Epaphras has worked hard for them. And when I think of that, I think, wow, how comforting must that have been to the church of Colossae to get that letter and think Epaphras is struggling. And this also goes back to intercessory prayer being something we don't stumble across. He's working hard. He's laying himself, he's laying his life down, or sacrificing his life in a sense, because that's what intercessory prayer is. It's setting aside a time for each other and saying, Lord, not me, but your people get this slot. So let's look at Colossians 1. Let's go to the first chapter. Look at another prayer. Colossians 1, I'll start in verse 3. So we always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing and increasing, as also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. That's a lot. And so, let's see. I don't think it's so much that we need to break down the prayers, we need to see the drive and force of the prayer. So, why is he praying for them? Because Paul is saying, we see how the gospel is bearing fruit in your hearts and among you and also in the world. And Paul saw that because of this fact, it was essential to pray these things for them so their unity inspired the prayer. Because Paul says in verse 9, I'll keep reading, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So if you're on the fence about praying or even trying to figure out what examples you can look for in prayer, here's one right here. I mean, he's saying, because of our common faith, and we've heard that we share in this, this is what's attached to that. Being filled with the knowledge of his will, so you'll walk in a manner worthy, bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened according to his glorious might with patience and joy, because the Father, our Father, this common faith we share, has qualified you to share in this faith with us. So their unity inspired Paul to pray for their needs. So, and the needs are found in the prayer. So an understanding of unity ought to move us to be concerned with each other's needs. That's why my second point is prayer together demonstrates our unity. So to be moved by the needs is to understand how we fit together. I like what Stan said about 2 weeks ago. He said, why would we wander as a spiritually homeless person when Christ has prepared a spiritual banquet of grace for his people in the local church? So give you guys an illustration. Think about a pinky toe, or if you sprain your ankle, that's crucial to your balance, and then your mobility will be hindered. And in the same spiritually, when all parts are working together, it makes the body grow. So in Ephesians, if you guys want to turn there, we'll look at that real quick. Ephesians 4, verses 15 through 16. I'm going to read that real quick. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow, that it builds itself up in love. So when we pray together, we see the body working in unity and in harmony. So that's just crucial. When we're all praying for each other, we're building each other up. We're imparting grace. We're coming to the prayer meeting. We're hearing the prayers, pray for each other. And that's a way of empowering each other going into the week. That's to understand how we fit together. And let's look at another example. Can we turn to Acts 2:41-42? I'm reading a lot. Does somebody want to read? Any volunteers? 41-42?
Acts 2:41-42?
Want to outline the prayers right there at the end and how they were devoted to this. And that word devotion has the meaning of holding fast to, enduring in, standing perpetually ready. And in this case, the word emphasizes the persistent and submissive perseverance and tenaciousness of a self-enclosed group collectively oriented towards specific goals. I read that and I love that. I mean, a tenacious, self-enclosed group collectively oriented towards specific goals. And Stan made a point when I was listening to a message in the Grace Heritage Archive messages where he was talking about prayer. And he said, when these people became Christians, it was the natural result of their faith that they began to act this way. So they were unified in their understanding of who God is, his goals, and expressing that, and they were all in agreement with this. So let's look at another example. Let's look at Jesus praying and how he's instructed. Let's go to Matthew 6, starting at verse 9. And we're not going to read it, but I just want us to get our eyes on it. And I believe Jesus prayed out loud so people could hear him, so we could learn from him, because it's for our instruction. And if we're there, we can see that Jesus is saying, when you pray, then pray like this. And he says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, lead us not into temptation, deliver us. And this is to understand that we are unified as a body, as a people. So our faith unifies us and produces a concern for each other's needs as we collectively bring each other before the throne of grace, declaring who God is and for his will to be done and carried out in our lives and throughout the earth. So that's what we're doing. When we come together, we're declaring. There's another prayer in Acts where the people all together lifted their voices collectively and said, oh, sovereign God. You know, that's a benefit that we have as believers, that we can call God Father. He's God to the world, but he's Father to us. And when we get together, we declare that and we trust that, and we want his will done on earth as it is in heaven. So I believe to be these kind of people, we have to first have a privately devoted prayer life in our own lives. So that takes some strategizing, contemplating, because to prioritize or to devote yourself to something, it takes being intentional. It takes doing things deliberately. You're deliberately doing these things. We know what being devoted to working out looks like, or a certain diet. So when we're devoted to prayer or even devoted to communion with the Lord, we have to make choices. We have to make decisions based on that which we are devoted to. And this is a person that is proactive and not reactive to that which is valued, which is communion with God. And I say this because the concerns in themselves won't be enough. Our concerns for each other aren't enough. We have to have a private prayer life vertically with the Lord so it can work itself out horizontally. So basically our love and affection vertically works itself out. I think it's in 1 John where it says, can I love God who you haven't seen if you're not loving the brethren who are around you? So when we pray together, we bring God glory. And Jesus himself gives us examples in his own prayer as to why that, or as to what that looks like. So let's turn to John 17, verses 9 and 10. And we'll just kind of look at that. Verse 9, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given to me. For they are yours. All mine are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. And to say that Jesus is given, we've been given, this is how we're How about this? Let's go to 20, and then we'll tie it all in. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. And I like the way the NASB puts it. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity. So our unity is bringing glory to God. That in itself is just glorious to me, just to be thinking of that, Jesus giving us an example like this. And if, let's turn to 1 John 3, verses 14 and 16. Okay, so it says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone, well, verse 16, by this we know we love that he laid, we know love that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. And I just want us persuaded to see that how we'll know we've passed out of death, how we'll know we've passed out of death into life is by how we love. And that love is worked out through prayer as we lay our lives down. Jesus has given us the example, intercessory prayer. Like I said, when we come to the prayer meeting, it's our way of, you know, college football season started, NFL started, all these things can take up our evenings. And we're saying, forget that slot. God's people gets this slot. And we're going to pray for each other. We're going to intercede for each other going into the week. And also, just another point as to why prayer is crucial, I believe, is because it's all throughout our bulletin. Prayer of repentance, prayer of assurance, prayer of praise. So that's kind of my stance. I know I'm a little short on the time, but to conclude, praying for each other knits our hearts together, and in that our unity is expressed, and through that God is glorified. Amen. Oh. Yeah.
I got a question. I was going to just ask, since most of our people who are here right now are probably come, we have a corporate prayer time on Sunday evenings at 5. So if you are unaware of that, that's one way you can jump into kind of the corporate element of praying together. So one of the things Adrian hit on was praying for one another, like in your private life. So if you know that somebody's going through a particularly difficult time, you can just pray for them. That's kind of what Adrian's kind of getting at in the first part. You can just pray for them on your own. But then there is something special about coming together as a body, like in the same place, and lifting our voices together. So we do that on Sunday nights. So I encourage you, if you don't really have a strong prayer life, you especially need to be there to learn how to pray and to strengthen your prayer life. Or if you do have a strong prayer life, we really need you to come. You should come too, because we need people who can come and who are eager to pray with the saints. And so I wanted to ask, has anybody who attends corporate prayer or who has attended corporate prayer in the past, can you think of a time where you were particularly blessed by something that happened in corporate prayer in some way?
I can.
Sure.
I remember a while ago I shared about some of my dad's health concerns, and then Paul Frody prayed for him during Sunday night prayer, and then afterwards it led to like a really long good conversation, and he like specifically followed up about what I had shared. And so I think that it's really special for other people to pray about stuff, especially with any long-term health concerns or something I've experienced even in my previous church before my brother was saved, of like with lost family members. Sometimes it's really like discouraging in the years that you're praying for them. And it was always really encouraging to me for other people in the church to care so much about the souls of people that they didn't even know, but for my family members. And so I think that that's one thing about corporate prayer, is like listening to each other pray for one another's friends and family that don't know the Lord, or things that maybe I'm weary of praying for, and hearing other people pray with like a renewed passion and like crying out to God, it reinvigorates my prayer life and connects us to each other better, because then it's like I never would have had that conversation with Paul Frode if I had it.
I was going to say there's something particularly encouraging about, like, you know the body is praying for you at home, like when something is emailed out, but it's particularly encouraging to hear it in person. You know, Kara's stepped out of shock earlier this year in that season, hearing multiple people lift him up.
I like what Pastor Paul said in the email earlier this week, how sometimes when you're praying, you end up becoming the need. I know there's times where I pray so much for someone, and I'm like, I'm just going to do it. you know, they need something. I'm just like, I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to do it. So I'll end up being the need. So that's a kind of cool way to think. So. Any questions? A little.
You mentioned at the beginning, you know, we recognize that God is sovereign and prayer is the way that He will bring things about. That example that you just gave, and you'll pray so often for something that you'll come to need. God will ever draw your heart to it. Is it right to think about prayer that it's not something that we're doing to persuade God's attention or decision some way, but it's more how we're incorporating ourselves with God's will, how He's bringing us into His will so He can show us, you know, His involvement in our lives and His involvement in our sanctification? Is that a right way to think of it, or is that kind of minimalizing it, I guess?
I guess before I answer that, what do you guys think? I mean, I'd like to open it up for you guys.
I think that's exactly the right way to think about it, Chase. I think that's Chase's voice, maybe. Because we're not. I think it's important to remember that prayer is not trying to overcome some kind of divine reluctance in God. God is more ready to make provision for us than we are to ask. And so, but oftentimes we need to engage ourselves with Him in order to have our hearts rightly tuned, you know. So it's often an opportunity for us. And I've really become convinced recently that complaining becomes prayer when we not only voice our needs to God, but then also hear His words to us regarding that need.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I cry out to Him because I'm fearful about something. And then I remember and I talk to Him about, and I hear Him say, "Do not be afraid, I'm with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." That's when our hearts really get engaged with Him. And I think it's exactly, far from minimizing it, I think it is maximizing prayer to approach it the way that you're talking about. Yeah. So I appreciate your insight on that.
So I had in my notes that I just wanted us kind of to leave with this understanding where it says in Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And that blessing comes from being in Christ. And I thought about the banquet that's been prepared for us, as Stan said. And we have these spiritual blessings accessible to us when we come together, when we pray for each other in private. So that's just something we can take into the week just to be thinking about. So if you guys are all right, I'm just going to pray us out, and then we'll fellowship until first. So, Father, we come before You now, Lord, asking that You would use these truths to grip our hearts, and that You would enable us to have a spirit of supplication, and that by Your design, we will be able to see that You've given us prayer as a means to build each other up and advance Your kingdom, Lord. And this is a gracious thing of You to do, to use people like us, Lord. We're very thankful. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Visit us online at graceheritage.org for service times and other information.